From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea. This just in, the Alaska Supreme Court has ruled that a state Senate district that pairs part of East Anchorage and the Eagle River area amounted to an unconstitutional political gerrymander by the board tasked with rewriting Alaska's political boundaries. Senate districts consist of a pair of House districts. The Senate district at issue pairs a House district that includes part of Anchorage's Muldoon area with an Eagle River area House district. The court says it was affirming the lower court finding that the district was unconstitutional. The court also took issue with the drawing of House District 36 that plucks Cantwell out of a district that includes other parts of the Denali borough. For years, Juneau Assembly members have said they want to do a project for the Lemon Creek neighborhood. Now, the Assembly says a multi-use path through the neighborhood is one of its top priorities. KTOO's Lindsay Brolini reports.
The city's working title for the project is the Lemon Creek Multimodal Path. It's a fancy way to talk about a path that can be used by all kinds of people in all kinds of ways, for recreation and just to get around. It's on the top of the list of asks for next year from state and federal lawmakers. The city's community development director, Jill McLean, says the project is complex. It needs permits and other red tape. That means it will take a long time and money to complete.
Because this isn't something that we could just make happen more easily as like a small playground within a neighborhood or something.
She says the biggest reason for the project is because the city is trying to give the neighborhood the attention it deserves.
We've recognized the city and the assembly that Lemon Creek may not have historically received as much attention as some other areas, and it's now time for Lemon Creek to get some love.
Right now, the city doesn't even know where the path will be, what it will cost, or when it will be done, because it needs money to even make a plan. And once there's a plan, there will be a chance for the public to weigh in. The project hits a few key pieces of the city's Lemon Creek plan, including transportation and recreation. McLean says that Lemon Creek deserves these amenities that other neighborhoods in Juneau have enjoyed for years. And McLean says the Systemic Racism Review Committee has made city staff think more about how resources are distributed.
That has also put a focus much more closely on land use, how we use the land, how we undertake permitting, and how we cite certain uses.
Assembly member Carol Treem says when the city and assembly decide how to spend its money, that's when inequity can happen. Treem says the Systemic Racism Review Committee can be a check on the assembly, but it isn't just on the committee to think about systemic racism in allocating resources.
I think the majority of the responsibility is on the assembly to make sure that the assembly is keeping this in mind and not forgetting about it.
During an assembly finance meeting this month, assembly members talked about putting $1 million into the Lemon Creek path. And the capital budget already has $150,000 set aside for planning. But these aren't final budgets yet.
We need to be focusing more on Lemon Creek, and when we talk about equity, we can start putting our money where our mouth is.
Treem is also hoping to put some money to some other smaller projects in Lemon Creek, like adding lights at Siguwu Yi Park. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
Juneau's Urban Native Corporation wants to help Eagle Crest Ski Area pay for its gondola project and expand summer operations. Officials with Gold Belt Incorporated could not be reached for comment, but city officials say the company is interested in backing Eagle Crest with up to $10 million. In return, it wants a slice of summer ticket revenue. It's unclear for how long.
We can all keep our fingers and toes crossed. I think this potential partnership with Gold Belt is really, really exciting in many, many ways.
That's Eagle Crest General Manager Dave Scanlon speaking to a ski area board committee on Thursday.
The installation of the gondola, a small summit house in the mountain coaster, are the things that they want accomplished.
According to the estimates, that's all doable with $10 million. The particulars of a deal with Gold Belt would have to be negotiated. That requires action from the Juneau Assembly. The city manager could get permission to start those talks as soon as April 11th. Constantine Metal Resources updated the technical report for its potential mining project near Haines. The new information raises questions around how the company plans to get ore out of the Chilkat Valley. KHNS's Corinne Smith reports.
Constantine Metal Resources revised its technical report earlier this month after a review by the British Columbia Securities Commission. The report adds more details on how the company will get ore from the Upper Lynn Canal to Asian markets. Constantine President and CEO Garfield McVeigh called the updates housekeeping. He says the company is currently focused on determining whether the mine is viable, then developing infrastructure.
We don't need an ore loading terminal until we know the project is going to be feasible. And that's still, you know, that's still down the road. It's still, as they say, it's probably 5 years before we're at feasibility.
Constantine's Palmer project is still in the exploratory stages to mine gold, copper, zinc, and barite at a site near the U.S.-Canadian border at the headwaters of the Chilkat Valley. In the report, Constantine proposes zinc and copper concentrate trailers are trucked to Haynes Deepwater Port Facility, owned by Alaska Marine Lines, or AML. The company proposes containers then be barged by AML roughly 15 miles to Skagway's port, transferred at the ore terminal there, and loaded onto barges destined for smelters in Asia. But Haynes does not have an ore terminal. Plans to develop one are highly controversial in the community, drawing environmental and economic concerns, debated in town halls, editorials, and social media. Though Haynes received a $20 million federal grant in December to rehab its freight and fuel dock, Lutac Dock, an ore terminal is not currently part of that development project. Haynes Mayor Douglas Olrud says the plan has potential, but it's too soon to evaluate.
We're probably at least 10 years away from them developing the ore bodies for shipment. And so I think it's a plan that could definitely work, but I imagine there's going to be changes to that if they get to the point where they're transporting ore. And once they get to that stage, it'll be a much more refined plan.
In Skagway, the ore terminal currently owned by the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or ADA, will be turned back over to the municipality next year in March 2023. Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata says the municipality is in negotiations with Yukon mining executives in their port redevelopment process, but he has not had any recent communications with Constantine about their proposal.
So it's interesting to me that, you know, another entity would put out a report that their intent is to use our port and not having engaged us in any kind of conversation about what their needs might be or how it might logistically work or really anything.
Alaska Marine Lines declined to comment about Constantine's proposed barging plan. Environmentalists say the company has had to change its public reporting before around road access, following a complaint filed with the BC Securities Commission and a subsequent review by Canadian regulators. Chris Zimmer is with the conservation group Rivers Without Borders and says this latest update could be a result of regulatory pressure. He criticized Constantine for waiting to benefit from publicly funded infrastructure projects.
So, you know, this kind of smacks to me of corporate socialism, of this company sitting and waiting for government to basically build them a transportation plan because they can't afford to do it themselves. And this is a weak point for the company. If they can't get their product to market, you're not going to have a successful mine. And as it stands, they do not have any kind of approved workable plan to get their product to market.
The report states the Palmer Project has yet to determine mineral reserves and economic viability. Constantine President Garfield McVeigh says there's more advanced underground exploration to come. In Haynes, I'm Corinne Smith.
Kodiak's Coast Guard base is getting a major influx of federal infrastructure money. Coast Guard is getting $429 million from the bipartisan infrastructure bill signed by President Biden last fall. Speaking during Comfish's legislative forum on Thursday in Kodiak, U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski said most of that money is coming to Kodiak.
Out of the $429 million that we provided for the agency, nearly half of it, about $210 million is going to come to base Kodiak.
The Coast Guard released its spending plan for the federal funds on March 17th. Over $100 million will be used to replace the base's outdated fuel pier. Murkowski says another $80 million will go toward improving amenities for families stationed on the island.
$40 million for new housing for Coast Guard families there, and another $40 million for a new child development center, which I know is very, very welcome.
Elsewhere in Alaska, Coast Guard Base Ketchikan will get $4 million in funding under the infrastructure bill for a 65-ton crane to service cutters and patrol boats. Democrat L.V. Gray Jackson says she is ending her run for the U.S. Senate in Alaska and instead will seek re-election to the state Senate. Gray Jackson says that as first quarter fundraising concludes and after reflection on the system and expenses necessary to run a successful campaign, she's decided to focus efforts on work that can be done in the state Senate. She made the announcement in a statement released by her campaign. Gray Jackson had been the only Democrat so far to file to run for the U.S. Senate seat held by Republican Lisa Murkowski. Murkowski is also seeking re-election. And the late Representative Don Young's congressional office announced details for a public service in Alaska to honor the congressman. Service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, April 2nd, at Anchorage Baptist Temple. It's open to the public. Weekend weather forecast from the National Weather Service. Saturday, sunny, patchy fog, highs around 40. Sunday, mostly sunny, highs around 40. With those clear skies this weekend, let's take a look at the aurora forecast from the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. For Saturday, March 26th, moderate activity, a 3. Auroral activity will be moderate. Weather permitting, moderate displays will be visible overhead from Utsjavik to as far south as Talkeetna, visible low on the horizon as far south as Bethel, Soldotna, and southeast Alaska. Same goes for Sunday, March 27th. And that'll do it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, March 25th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.